Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Welcome back to All of It on WNYC. I'm Nancy Giles, filling in for Allison Stewart. Irish actor, comedian, and writer Aisling B has won quite a few awards for her stand-up in the UK. In 2011, she became the first woman in 20 years, to win the prestigious So You Think You're Funny competition for new stand-ups. Go, girl. A year later, her debut solo show at the Edinburgh Fringe, C'est la B, sold out its entire run, received 5-star reviews across the board, and earned her more accolades. All right.
I bought all the tickets myself, for that, by the way. Just as a heads up.
Now, American audiences have a chance to meet Aisling B in her new series, This Way Up, on Hulu. B created and stars in the comedy about a young woman who puts her life back together with the help of her sister after suffering from a nervous breakdown. This Way Up premieres today on Hulu.
Holla!
Aisling B, welcome to All of It.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh my gosh. So, okay.
All of me.
All of you. You did a recent interview with The Guardian, and it led with the line, for Aisling B, the best way to star in a funny sitcom was to write it herself. So, was that true? At what point did you decide, you know what, I don't know if these parts that are coming my way work?
Well, I think there's a trend at the moment of women speaking, and I know it's absolutely disgusting and an absolute disgrace, but I suppose it's everyone for a long time realizing you don't get to be your whole complex self. So I'm making the show with Sharon Horgan, who also made the show Catastrophe with Rob Delaney.
Love it.
So
loved
many people
that
absolutely love it. So this is her production company, and so she, off the back of that, set up a production company to make more shows with predominantly female voices. And it's like a breath of fresh air. It's like being able to dance and someone asking you for 15 years to shuffle sideways back and forth. And you're going, I know I can do more than this.
Oh, I love that.
And then suddenly being allowed to move your arms and your legs and your hips. And that's what kind of being in something where you're made a complex person, which so many people do. I think the sort of and I think what's happening at the moment, which is frustrating, and I hope in 5 years this won't be a thing, but that every show that comes out, which are very different to each other, gets talked about as female shows. Female is not a genre. Slapstick is a genre. Darkness is a genre. Sitcom, studio. But female is not a genre of storytelling. There's all different types of people. So that's quite boring at the moment. getting compared to other female shows rather than getting compared to maybe shows that are similar.
Yeah, exactly. Shows that are great.
So, in fact, The Hollywood Reporter didn't do that today. They flagged it up and compared it to other different things, which was really nice. But it does feel like a breath of fresh air of allowing yourself to be a complex, messy person rather than the girlfriend or the wife or whatever it is.
I love the visual of dancing, fully dancing instead of shuffling from side to side. That sticks with me. The show talks about mental health. And in the first scene, we meet Anya as she's checking out of an extended stay rehab center. So what made you decide to create a character that was recovering from a nervous breakdown?
I think one thing I want to have the show be is a hopeful show. So it's not a show about breaking down. It's a show about breaking up. And so that's why it's called This Way Up. Why I called it This Way Up is to A, have up in the title, something positive with the directions moving forward. And the other thing is when you see that written on a box, it means that you have to handle it with care in some way because something fragile is inside. You just wouldn't realize it from the outside. And so the show is a comedy, and I want to, I suppose, readdress issues around mental health and not make them so maudlin that you don't want to get into them, and that the world's not going to fall apart if you're sad. But also, if you're sad, it doesn't take away the fact that you're funny or social, or it doesn't have to have such a caged fence around the issues that you have to be very careful opening it when you walk inside. It can just be something you talk about and move on to the next part of your day. So I wanted to start broken because there's a lot of shows, gorgeous shows, that are about someone falling apart and the variety of ways you're waiting for them to hit the ground, whereas this is from the ground up.
I love it. And let's start by listening to a clip of when Anya checks out of the rehab center with her sister Shona.
Do we just go, or do you do a bit of a speech, or what happens now?
Well, we're sad to see Anya go. We've loved having you here.
Oh, God, yeah, I've had the time of my life, Teresa. I hope to come back as often as my schedule allows.
I'm sorry you didn't have a great time.
No, I didn't expect it to be a great time, Teresa. I'm not stupid. I just, it's a lot of Jonas money. No, I was just saying it because I think the facilities could have been nicer, like the website shows.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, in fairness to Anya, when I booked her in, the website did make it look like there was a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
And, you know, the jacuzzi was half how I convinced her to come here in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, because I said, you know, at the worst, if she came, at least there'd be a jacuzzi.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, as it turned out, it was just a picture of
Duck pond. Yeah.
Which...
Well, like I said, this is not a spa. It's a rehab facility, so we plough our money into care and therapists.
Yeah, I know, but I just don't see how a jacuzzi...
Or a plunge pool.
Yeah, would be a bad thing for people who just needed a bit of a boost, you know?
Come on, Shaw, doesn't matter.
So, any other feedback before you head off?
Well, why are you saying it like that? Why are you saying feedback like that? All businesses should appreciate feedback, okay? I'm in business. I love feedback. And yeah, I do, actually. And don't take it the wrong way.
Just leave
it,
Shaw.
But no, just one second. Also on your website, you say you get all sorts of people here, but then Anya tells me that when they were having the group therapy sessions, they mainly dealt with addiction and not with...
Nervous breakdown.
Oh, God, is that what I fall under? I thought it was mostly B's creative type.
Well, don't be sarky.
I'm not being sarky. I'm being sassy.
I'll punch you in the face in a minute.
I actually have some practical feedback.
Oh, good.
Just as regards snacks. So I was thinking mini bars. I'm actually being serious, Teresa, because one day when I was really low, I would have happily paid double the recommended retail price to eat a Kit Kat without everyone gawping at me. And ideally in a fucking jacuzzi.
Sorry for cursing there. That's okay.
Can I have the car keys? I wasn't sure at what point they were going to cut out of the scene because I was like, I've never heard it. Just heard it.
That must be an experience.
Like right? And I'm like, oh God, the sound did great jobs with high heels in the background. That's what I was listening because I've heard the scene so many times.
Well, there's so many things I thought of while watching the scene. Just the notion of the feedback and that both you and your sister just don't give that. You won't let that go like this and that and the other. And Sharon Horgan, who plays Shona, and wrote and co-created Catastrophe, she and you have such a cool relationship, and I'm wondering what it's like to work together.
It's very sisterly, our relationship, more so than friends. And actually, what's interesting about sometimes when you play lovers with someone, it's sort of a little bit fake. You can have chemistry with someone, but you play a wife or a girlfriend or boyfriend, but they have their own people at home and you do as well. But with this, our relationship on screen is quite similar to what we have in real life. So a lot of that talking over each other and talking at the same time, you sort of get for nothing. And I wrote it for her, so there was no one else ever going to play the part. But I tend to be like, Sharon, I bought the jeans that you just wore because I like them. No, take them back. We can't have the same jeans. We'll look like idiots. So that does really exist in real life a lot of the time.
It does seem that way. And I do see when she punches you or you punch her, there does seem to be
There was absolute force in it.
I could see.
In episode 3, there's a lot of punching in the shoulder. And only at the end of the day, she's like, sorry, am I hurting you? And I'm like, yeah. And I had a big bruise all over me. But I find it really funny seeing women punch each other.
Yeah. I liked it. I dug it.
Yeah.
The show also talks about Brexit and xenophobia and your character, Anya, is an English as a second language teacher to these adult students. And you're also an Irish immigrant. And I'm wondering if that sense of being the outsider, whether you bring that to...
Definitely. I think I've lived in America and the UK pretty much kind of almost like 50-50 over the last 5 years. And so I have this outsider view of both countries and sort of flowing around. But I'm also very aware of kind of the privilege I hold as an Irish English speaking immigrant and how that privilege isn't extended to everyone. And even in the UK, Ireland and the UK has a very different relationship and what will be post-Brexit than, say, an Italian person and what rights they might lose. And so I wanted to, I suppose, show the complexity of all of us immigrants and the different privileges people can carry and how there's no... I suppose I didn't want it to have an answer.
Right,
because I think because if there are no answers and the only answer is kindness and trying to understand each other. And I know that might sound very like, guys, let's all hold hands. But it honestly, it's just incrementally doing that, reaching out to each other and trying to understand each other And giving some people a bit more time than you might need and stuff like that. So that's what I was trying to do in the show as well.
I also really love just the multicultural nature of the show and the stories that you've interwoven with your sister's boyfriend and the students that you work with. It's just, it's really refreshing to
me. That's London. I suppose what I found odd was when people make shows about New York or London or anywhere, and there are these big white shows, and I'm like, what?
Ashley,
what
do you
area
mean?
Are
what
you?
Really?
Do you know what I mean?
Strikes you as strange, doesn't it?
Yeah, it really does. But I don't like that. For me, that's the most imaginative thing I could possibly comprehend, is walking around these cities and just seeing, like, sometimes even on shows, like, the extras are all white. And you're like, what?
In what land?
This is, yeah, genuinely, I'm like,
unless
well,
they all take place in Norway.
But more imaginative. Yes, exactly. And some, like, this is the most Scandi drama I've ever seen. I don't sort of understand it. So for me, that's something that's gotten brought up a lot, but I don't, that wasn't a stretch for me. The other one might have been weird.
No, it didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
It feels organic. It doesn't feel like you're making a statement.
Yeah, and I suppose I know in the same way so many of my male counterparts who have been in the career as long as me sympathize with how boring it is to get cast for another, like, Jane, 23, girl next door, but is funny too, pretty in that sort of, like, still pretty but not pretty way. And you're like, oh God, boring. And they understand that. For me, I can see how frustrating it is for a lot of my friends who aren't white and get cast as, like, refugee 7. And you're like, oh my God. And
my favorites are administrative woman who gets to say a line like, next in line. Thank you. What drew you to comedy? You're so funny. I'm wondering, did you start doing comedy after you were acting, or
no,
how did you get to that?
I think maybe it's a bit of a chicken and an egg thing, in that, like, I was in a sketch show at university and then went off to drama school in England to become a very serious actress. Mm. And when I came out, I didn't get any parts at all. And I started doing comedy and writing, and people were like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And it's not like I still don't like doing dramatic things, because I think that way you can explore a bit of your soul as well, rather than just getting boxed into one way of telling stories. But it's a rhythm thing, and I love more than anything making people laugh. It gives me such joy. And I suppose to be able to maybe do the two at once is no harm, and to test the boundaries of that. And I find maybe I've been testing that through stand-up. Like, what can I talk about and make sure it doesn't turn into a TED talk? Because there's a worry sometimes when you talk about an issue, you're like, oh, and my next slide is talking about facts and figures. You know, gentle gag here, but ultimately there's a point. And you can't do that in stand-up. You can't just talk at people. You need to make them laugh.
And you've managed to do that about sort of difficult topics. I mean, you talked about your father's death when you were quite young, 3 years old, and then finding out that he had committed suicide.
Well, one thing, not to correct anyone's language, but what I find interesting is a lot of people say committed. And even in small incremental ways, you can only commit a crime. And so it harpers back to a time when it was illegal. And so for so many places, like, especially I think Catholic Ireland, the taboo of because it was a crime.
That's
crime
a
against
sin.
Jesus.
And a sin.
Yeah, a big old sin. Jesus gave you this lovely gift and then you throw it back in his face. What are you doing? You committed it. You committed it. So, like, just that in itself, I suppose, I don't believe it's not something that, when I would hear about it, it was like, oh, once you get into that topic, there'll be no way of coming out of that dinner party without everyone crying. And I don't agree. So I wrote this article for The Guardian, which you can find on my Instagram or whatever. And I wanted to make it an article about something sad that you could laugh at. Like, I put proper jokes in there, you know. So, yeah.
Ashling B, No, but, you know, you've managed to really strike a wonderful balance between comedy and not comedy and wonderfulness. This Way Up premieres today on Hulu. Ashling B,
please watch.
Congratulations and
next
thanks
in
for
line.
Coming.
That's what you can do. Do your line, Nancy, administrative lady.
Next in line, please. More all of it coming after the break.